When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others still Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Should you go onto the street and ask someone at random, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" you might hear the type of answer that we heard in the drama, that Jesus was just some guy with a beard, or that he was a prophet, or that he was simply a good teacher. Jesus asked Peter the question, "Who do you say I am?" Many people today are still asking that question. In order to understand who Jesus is, it is useful to know something of his life. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in Israel, where his birth was foretold by angels. His father was a carpenter, and Jesus was taught that trade. While he was still young, he was said to have incredible understanding of the scriptures. In the last 3 years of his life, he began teaching. His stories included analysis of scriptures, teaching about morality by use of parables, and teaching us about himself and showing us an example of how to live. One Passover, he was betrayed by one of his closest followers and interrogated by Pilate. In the questioning, he was accused of crimes that he didn't commit and was found innocent. However, a crowd that had gathered outside demanded that he should be executed in the place of a murderer. He was killed on a cross, which fulfilled old Jewish prophecies that the Messiah would be killed so that the sins of all the followers of God would be forgiven. The effect that he has had on the world has been quite staggering. He had little formal education that we know of, yet thousands of schools, colleges, and universities have been founded in his name. He never wrote a book, yet more books have been written about him than about anyone else in history, and the nearest thing that we have to his biography has been translated in whole or in part into over 1,500 languages. He did not paint or compose poetry or music, yet nobody's life has been the subject of more paintings, poetry, songs, films, and any other art forms. He didn't own property. He had to borrow a boat to sail in, a donkey to ride on, and even a coin to use for an illustration. Yet countless buildings have been erected for the sole purpose of teaching his followers and adding to their number. He spoke mainly to small groups, yet today he has over 2 billion followers, over 30% of the world's population. So that was a brief overview of Jesus' life and some of the effects of it. There are, however, some more questions to answer before we can conclude that we have a well-formed picture of his life. Two such questions are, what way did Jesus act, and what was different about the way that he conducted himself in ordinary interactions to the way that you and I do now? A notable characteristic of Jesus is that he was fully obedient to God. It is clear from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry that the way in which he decided how to act was based on his knowledge of the scriptures, and by extension, the God who commissioned them. He goes on to use it as the foundation for much of his teaching and for the way that he conducts himself. Jesus was humble. It says in Philippians 2, verse 8, that though he knew that he was in very nature God, he humbled himself and stayed obedient, even obedient in death. In John 13, verses 3 to 7, he washes the feet of his disciples, a chore normally performed by servants, to show how he wants the disciples to treat each other and to get them to prioritize being humble and serving others as a goal of the church. Jesus was honest. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 10, he had done nothing wrong and he had never lied while talking about the Messiah. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Christ had no sin. Jesus was helpful. There are numerous examples of people coming to him for prayer and for healing and him complying. For example, he heals a woman who touched his cloak, and he heals the servant of a Roman centurion. He would pray for the sick, for healing, and for the forgiveness of sins, and he taught his disciples to do the same. Jesus had strong willpower and was able to resist temptation. It says in the Bible that Jesus did not sin. It says in Hebrews 5, verse 15, when he lived on earth, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. And in Luke 4, verse 1 to 13, Luke documents the trials that he faced while in the desert being tempted by the devil. And importantly to the Christian belief is the temptation that he felt on the Mount of Olives. You can read in Luke 22, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. It is clear that he knew he was going to suffer, and that he was tempted to avoid the pain and suffering he was setting himself up for. But fortunately for us, he was able to, with the help of God, resist the temptation to bail and allowed himself to be killed. There are places in this talk that I could have gone into more detail about a point of Jesus' life, but haven't. And there are also many parts of Jesus' life that I haven't mentioned. There is quite a lot to his life. For that reason, I encourage you to read the biblical account of Jesus' life for yourself, in the hope that knowing more will lead to more understanding of Jesus and how Jesus wants his followers to live.
So we've heard about who Jesus is and the way he lived his life, but asking ourselves what this means for our lives is one of the first steps we can take to fully understand it and begin to truly live every day with God. Not only is this relevant to us and in our relationships with God, but I found myself when chatting to non-Christian friends that they always end up at this question. A lot of people vaguely understand who Jesus is, and if you ask a non-Christian who Jesus is, the chance is they'll probably be able to give you a classic stereotype like the drama showed us, or they'll at least have heard of him. But, however, what use is it knowing all about Jesus' life if we don't actually know how this affects our day-to-day lives? So firstly, ask yourself, are you in a relationship with God? Do you know him personally? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Saviour? In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptise them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is one of the first and most important steps we can take as Christians to begin to know more of who Jesus is. Most of you will know that I was baptised about a year ago, and for me, I knew it was the next step in my journey. In baptism, I publicly declared my belief in Jesus and started a new journey with him, trying to live my life for him in everything I do. It's not easy. Some days I find myself doubtful and unsure of what I believe in, but others I feel strong and firm. But even during the tough moments, God still loves us all and wants to be in relationship with us. When writing my testimony for my baptism, it really made me consider how God had been working in my life and how I'd been too busy waiting for a massive flashy sign to drop in front of me without me even realising. It also made me sit and properly think about my personal journey with God. So even if you're not ready for baptism, take some time this week to think and consider where you're at with God and where you'd like to be. It could be for 5 minutes walking to school or on the bus or just when you're pottering around the house doing bits and bobs. God really can and will speak to you anywhere. During the baptism, there are then some questions which are asked. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you turn from sin, renounce evil and intend to follow Christ? Will you live with the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world? If your answer is a yes to these questions, I'd encourage you to think about baptism and talk to Andy, Elsie, or one of the elders if you feel it could be one of the next steps for you. What's stopping you? In part one, John spoke to us about what Jesus was like as a person and the way he acted towards people. We are challenged as Christians to aim to become more like Jesus in everything we do. This means showing compassion, kindness, and love, even when we don't want to. Some simple ways that we can do this are just holding the door open for people or greeting strangers, say, on a dog walk. Small gestures go a long way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to give shelter to the homeless and look out for the weak. Here at Slough Baptist, our involvement with the night shelter is one of the ways that we can help out with the local town, as well as following in Jesus' footsteps. Mission is also a way that you could know more of God and do things more like him. Obviously, for some of us, right now might not be an ideal time to move away on mission. For example, if God called me right now to go somewhere overseas, it wouldn't exactly be practical for me to leave school as I'm about to do A-levels, and never mind the fact that you can't actually leave education until you're 18. Although, it's a great way to live like the way Jesus wanted us to. Maybe your busy lifestyle doesn't give you as much time as you'd like to do some of the practical actions like these. Mission doesn't just include moving abroad to do God's work or helping out with the night shelter once a week. We can do mission where we are each day. Also, we can easily forget that prayer is a way, as much as any, that we can do God's work. Pray for those that God's put on your heart. Pray for family, friends, work colleagues, or global issues. Something widely known about Jesus is his forgiveness. This is something which can be really challenging for us in modern society, where holding grudges is accepted as the norm, and forgiving people who supposedly don't deserve it isn't exactly the done thing. However, as followers of Jesus, we are called to forgive and love everyone, despite what they might have done against you. I find this particularly challenging at school, surrounded by people holding grudges and not being able to move on from an argument or a disagreement they had with someone. All these things aren't just specific actions to cross off our daily mission checklists. They're just some examples to challenge us to be more like Jesus and to do his mission each day in whatever we're doing. There's always ways to know more of God. We've never got all the answers. And there's always more ways that we can be more like Jesus. As John told us, when Jesus died, he took the punishment for every sin that every single one of us has done and ever can do. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. He suffered for all our wrongdoings so that we can live. God loves us so much, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And doing things to be more like Jesus is one way that we can further this relationship. Jesus' life was all about spreading the word of God. Therefore, as Christians, we're called to make disciples of the world, like we saw in Matthew 28, verse 19 earlier. This can be a really scary thing, and personally, it takes a lot of courage to chat to people about my faith, which might be surprising considering I'm up here doing a talk. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 7 to 8, it says, "Now go and tell his followers and Peter, Jesus is going into Galilee ahead of you, and you will see him there as he told you before." The women were confused and shaking with fear, so they left the tomb and ran away. They did not tell anyone about what had happened because they were afraid. Even in the Bible, when some women were told to go and tell people about Jesus, they couldn't because they were too afraid. It's never been an easy thing for anyone to do. However, in the past few years, I've realised that it doesn't have to be so terrifying. I find it useful to casually mention a church-related event coming up to one of my friends, for example, who've got music group practice that evening. Because that can lead to them asking questions and then possibly a wider conversation about faith. Even if when you first mention it, no response happens, don't be discouraged. What matters is that you mentioned it. I like to think of it as if the seed is planted and that you have to trust in God to make it grow, and that one day that person might actually ask you about it. So this week, have a think. Who can you plant a seed in? Another great way to get people involved in church is to invite them to something here. For example, Ladies Recharge or a baptism. If you're a visitor here tonight, I'm really glad you've come along, and we hope you feel very welcome, whatever you might believe in. Some of you might remember that last Sunday morning, Jason from London City Mission gave us an analogy which can really help us to understand what it's like to truly live our lives with God and for God. He said that life with Jesus is like being in the driver's seat all your life and then getting into the passenger seat instead to let Jesus drive. You'd probably feel nervous, uneasy, and just not very comfortable. I imagine it's a similar feeling to the one my mum gets when I sit in the car and drive, even after I've passed. Life can sometimes feel like this with God, but we have to remember that his plans for our lives are greater than what we can imagine, and we can trust in him. So after everything we've heard tonight, we need to challenge ourselves and ask, is Jesus the one making the decisions about what you do in your life? Or are you just coasting along, doing things on your own accord? We're now going to watch a short video about this. As John started with earlier, in Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asks us who we say he is. If we believe he is God and that he died for us, are we willing to let him be in control of our lives? So as you go away tonight, on your drive home, have a think. Is Jesus the one driving your life? Who is making your decisions? Is Jesus in the seat? So take some time now to respond to whatever God might be saying to you as we sing together. Please stand if you're able.